Whatever happened to that, Charles?
It's happening. It's still going on, but it's finding all kinds of special niches. I've seen like tiny houses, you know, printed.
Yeah.
They'll print houses.
With a 3D printer?
With a 3D printer.
Wow. Yeah, they printed a house. I saw one not long ago advertised for $4,000, and it's a tiny house, but it's completely built by a printer.
Uh-huh. I saw this unit that was designed to fill potholes. It was a 3D printer.
Oh.
It would actually go in there and clean up all the edges, you know, so it's a nice square, even surface, and then it would just start printing all the way down.
Wow.
Oh, boy, there goes the utility guys.
Well, you know, it's time we did something in technology in the way of maintaining our highways and streets.
That's true.
Because it hasn't really progressed as much as I would have expected.
It would be safer. We years ago, I had a friend who lived in Colorado that was a flagger.
Oh,
and
boy.
He would stand on the side of the road holding the flag. And my wife and I talk about this every once in a while because we always wonder how he's doing. But he was standing there on the side of the freeway, and it says, you know, to go a certain speed, you're supposed to slow down. And some lady had some kind of either a seizure or something, but ran into him at 60, 70 miles an hour.
Ooh.
And he was in really bad shape. I mean, it did a number on him. But you could have that little printer out there, and it wouldn't do. I mean, it would be costly, but it wouldn't be costly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't be human costly. But, yeah, that would be kind of a cool thing to see those out there fixing. Because
yeah,
I know a whole bunch of potholes in Bartlesville alone that I would fix.
Yeah. I would, yeah, just mount on the back of your truck or your Jeep and just have this thing come down. All of a sudden, it cleans up the space and starts printing.
Yeah, you can start putting them in some of the residents, you know, just put them in just places here around town. This guy drives around, he says, pothole, stop for a minute and put his flashers on, and it fixes it in a few seconds. That'd be kind of a handy little doodad.
It would. Sure would.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was a special on Sunday morning, the TV show where this guy, he made his mission to go out and fix potholes himself if the city wasn't going to respond. So he had these special emblems that he put in there, and that was kind of his trademark. And he just went around, if anybody told him where a pothole was, it wasn't getting fixed.
The only one that I don't like, the pothole, is the one right there up on Hensley and 123 coming off that bridge.
Ooh.
And you come across there's one. If you have to go on to Hensley and go down the road, there's this big giant crack in the road, and if you're on a motorcycle, that's not a fun thing because you can get that tire in that groove if you're turning in there. And I watched a guy spill it on a bicycle one day over there. So yeah, it'd be kind of nice to have that kind of technology where you can fix those things.
Hensley could use some attention, couldn't it?
Yeah. Well, that poor road, you know. And then when you go on past, down all the way where it turns into, it's one street at the beginning and ends at another. But Hensley, if you go west past 123 and you start going down there, that road gets really bumpy.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's parts in there. It feels like you're on a roller coaster or on a jiggly roller coaster. On an old wooden roller coaster. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, we were talking about 3D printing because I hadn't seen, you know, it was such a phase when it first came out. Everybody was talking about getting one of these things, and then you just don't hear about it anymore. And I guess there's some people out there still doing 3D printing.
Yeah, you can still get them.
You know, it's a great creative thing for, you know, I was looking online here for gifts for family members, and I was, you know, I've got some techie family members in my family that like to dink around with tech stuff, you know. So I was looking on there, and one of them likes to build models. And, you know, like model airplanes and things. And you go out and you buy the plastic pieces and you assemble these little aircraft. Well, they can 3D print all the parts and build them themselves. They come, you can buy the kit for like $15.
Neat.
You can buy the kit, and that doesn't supply the plastic and everything that you're going to make it with. But it gives you the blueprints, the plan, and the disc to stick into your computer and start printing your own 3D airplane, and then you assemble it. But, you know, that's a cool Christmas gift idea, and it wasn't that super expensive. A couple $100, and you got a neat printer that does a pretty good size printing.
You know, every once in a while, you'll see something pop up in the news about them printing organs, you know, artificial organs.
Really?
Yeah. So it's getting into the kind of bio side of things.
Wow. Wow. Well, they could maybe someday print a duplicate of you, Charles.
I don't know about
then
that.
Then you could have two times the amount of work done.
And catch yourself coming and going.
And his wife says, no way. We're not putting up with that. No 3D printed Charles. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
There's days that I wished I had a second one of me that could help me get stuff done. But, yeah. That's definitely.
Well, it's the problem. I've had this challenge for a long time is just don't know how to delegate.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
If I knew how to do that well, I wouldn't be running ragged all the time.
Exactly.
It's never good enough, so you basically do it yourself to get the job you want.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
So what do you do with that? Well, you learn. You learn how to get by.
Well, you know, I was going to tell you, I had a 3D printed object for me. A friend of mine, you know, Jason Horn, he came by one day and said, hey, let me fix something for you. So, you know, we were talking about his new 3D printer. So he printed me out this NBR Electronics sign that sits now on the wall of my shop. If you look in the door, you can see it with a light on it. And it was 3D printed. And it's just kind of cool when you see how precise everything was. You know, that it printed out, and just to think it's just was a piece of stringy plastic and then all of a sudden turns into this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just, it is kind of neat. And I was wondering if that technology was going anywhere, if they were, you know, you see little YouTube videos, but you don't know if people are still really fascinated by it or if it was a phase.
Well, like I say, I see it show up in a lot of niches, like food. You know, we'll have our own replicator here so we can print our
Well, they
our
had
food.
One in Next Generation.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, you can replicate your own food and replicate everything. They had, man, it was a cool thing to have one of those replicators.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I need one of those.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
It would work well down in your place.
You just walk into your thing and say, I want a steak dinner with baked potato, and then it'll ask you, what temperature would you like your steak? Is that medium well? Because you remember on Star Trek, they would tell him, he would say, I want tea. Earl Grey, and you would have to name the temperature you wanted just to make sure you get the right temperature.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Oh, man, things we get into, conversations. But what's new, Charles, coming up for 2021?
Well, I tell you, what's been kind of plaguing me is all these COVID tests. I've had, let's see, 1, 2, 3, I've had 4 tests now, and all of them were just totally different experience. You know, like I think the first one I did, and this is basically just kind of being exposed somewhere, you know, or somebody else around you got exposed, so now you have to take the test, right? Mm-hmm. And like the Washington County one, I thought it's the easiest to get into. It was back a couple, 2 or 3 weeks ago. I don't know if it's like that now because things have picked up since then. But it took like 4 days to get a response, you know, because they send it off to a lab. And then the second one I did, I think I went to CVS, and this wasn't CVS local. It was in Claremore, because they could get you in the same day, and they get your test back the next day.
Huh.
So that was pretty quick. And then I had one here at the up at primary care. Now, they had the quick test. It was a swab test. Mm-hmm. But then you would actually, they'd take it, and they had a machine. So it would sit there and percolate and give you the results in 15 minutes. So that was probably the most impressive of the bunch. But when I was working at Phillips, you know, all of a sudden I get there early in the morning what's that early? You know, 8 o'clock in the morning, and somebody gets, they take him out, and he's kind of bent, but apparently he was exposed or he had it, and the whole department gets tested. So they have the quick test there where it's almost like a little litmus paper. Mm-hmm. You know, they get a little drop of blood and mine turned up questionable.
Uh-oh.
So I said, okay, well, I better check this out. So I had to go home, but I went to, that's when I went up to primary care and did that little 15-minute test. But that's when I found out there's so many different ones. Well, we have to have the PCR one. I said, what's the PCR one? I didn't know there were multiple, you know, tests. Well, the quick test apparently isn't as accurate as the one where they sent it off to a lab.
Yeah.
So now I got to go through all the motions of figuring out, okay, where do I go for this one? And, you know,
well,
sorry,
there,
but this number
there's
5.
There's symptoms to it, though, that tell you whether or not you actually have it. Mm-hmm. One is not being able to taste food. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that would be an obvious. And I don't think I've ever not been able to taste food. I like food. Yeah. So, you know, I never really went and tested because I just always liked food and it tasted good. So I figure I'm still alive. I'm doing all right.
Well, you lose in 80%, I think, of the people who've had it, they lose their sense of smell. And now there's a university in Colorado that's come up with, of all things, get this, a scratch and sniff COVID test.
Really?
If you can't smell that.
Just walk by sometime when you open the door, just walk by a customer or a place in your grocery store and a person walks by. Like there was a guy walked past me the other day. I don't think he could have put another bottle of cologne on. But man, my gosh, it just slapped you around in the face, knocked you up against the door. I think I was pretty well secure that I could smell well. It was pretty powerful.
On that note, we're going to take a break right here on Tech Talk. We've got more coming up, plus your questions if you'd like to have one fielded by Charles and Charles at 1-800-749-5936. And we'll be back after this two-minute timeout.
What do you do if you really need a better vehicle, but you have bad credit? Come talk with your friends at Roman Chevrolet Buick in Independence. Roman's not only has the ability, but also the desire to get anyone approved for a vehicle. They are your one-stop shop. They'll buy your old vehicle, help you find a great ride, and now help with financing no matter how bad your credit is. Get more details from Roman Chevrolet Buick, 2313 West Main in Independence. Romans, with financing for everyone.
Crayola experience at the Shops at Willow Bend. Can't wait to see you. We're now featuring reduced capacity, social distancing, increased cleaning measures, and as always, lots of creative family fun. Color and wash your free scribble scrubby. Star in your own coloring page. Name and wrap your own crayon. And so much more. Get out and get creative at Crayola Experience.
Visit CrayolaExperience.com for tickets and to learn more about our new enhanced safety protocols.
Join 100.1 KYFM and K1TV when we'll be at the Dewey Christmas Parade this evening, beginning at 5:30. This year's parade theme is Bright Lights of Christmas, and you'll see lots of floats, and we'll be able to meet Santa before the parade for photos at the Dewey Hotel Museum from 4:30 to 5:30. He'll be passing out bags of candy and listening to your Christmas wish list. Our broadcast is brought to you by Bartnett IP, LPL Painting, Dungeness Family of Autos, Lawana Duncan, Oklahoma Farm Bureau Agency, Waters, Heat, and Air, and Hayes Awnings. Bundle up the family and bring them to Dewey's 33rd Annual Christmas Parade, where they'll see Christmas floats, Christmas lights, and Santa. Our broadcast is also possible by Medical Lodges of Dewey, Wise Boot and Shoe Repair, Once Again Resale Boutique, Paul's Record Service, Arvest Bank, Chris Rainwater, Farmers Insurance Agency, and A Heavenly Touch.
And we're back right here on Tech Talk, and our phone line is open at 1-800-749-5936. That is a toll-free call. Charles and Charles, how are we doing?
Well, you know, one thing that we're all doing right now is looking at Christmas presents because it's closing in on us.
Yeah.
We got less than 2 weeks now.
I know it.
So,
goodness.
So, some of the stuff that caught my attention, like this morning, for example, I noticed that the HP Envy laptop, you know, that's probably one of my favorite laptops. And it was a 17-inch screen that was on sale for, I think it was $670, and usually they're over $1,000. And i7, you know, it had, you know, the good processor, memory. It was a nice little machine.
And how much was it?
It was $670.
$670, uh-huh. That's a pretty good price.
Usually it's about $1,200, so that's why I thought, well, shoot, if I didn't already have the one I have,
yeah,
I would be looking at that one because I have an i5, which is good.
Yeah.
But now the processors are going through all this gyrations of, you know, Apple kind of stirred the pot quite a bit when they dumped Intel as their main processor. You know, they've got their own M1, the ARM processor.
Yeah.
And boy, I guess that thing is a real screamer. It's really fast. Mm. And now they're actually creating code so that you can emulate the Intel so you can run Windows on it.
Wow. Wow.
So you could run it on a Mac machine. You could run Windows 10 inside this, you know, everything's getting to be inside a shell with Windows, it's the Hyper-V, you know, which is basically a virtual machine. You're running the whole thing in this shell. So So you just, it's all software, which to me is pretty slick. I like that virtual world.
Yeah, I know you do.
It's like being inside and getting total control.
Yep.
We have a phone caller. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. Welcome to Tech Talk. Your question or comment?
Morning.
Good morning.
You gentlemen have been talking about COVID.
Yeah.
And the symptoms and that. You can have it and not have symptoms.
Oh yeah, asymptomatic.
Our daughter tested positive for it back in October. Huh. And the only way she found out is she had been to a funeral, and several of the people there came down with it and called her to let her know. And so she went and got tested.
Huh.
And it tested positive.
Did she have any health-like things, not feeling well? Or
no. No, she had no clue.
No symptoms.
And she went through the entire isolation period, mm-hmm. and she masked and did all the stuff. You know, everybody, you know, people at the funeral were masked and everything. But she got it. Her 6-year-old son didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And he was tested. We quarantined. She was in the same house with us. She stayed in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And stayed masked, and my wife spent that time making sure everything was wiped down and kept clean. Any place she went in the house, which was basically
everywhere,
the restroom.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
Every time she'd go in, she'd holler and let us know she was coming out, and we make sure the area was clear.
Well, it's an interesting thing. You just really don't even know,
but.
Yeah,
but she had no symptoms.
Hmm.
Wow,
it was just nothing. I mean, she never lost her sense of smell and taste.
Wow,
she never had fever. Hmm. She never had anything.
Because that would be my biggest fear, is to be where I couldn't taste something, because I love to eat. I would just not be a happy camper.
Yeah, but just to let you know, there are cases.
Yeah,
and she's one of them. And I think that's probably how it spreads so much, is I think there's more people out there who have it that are asymptomatic and have no clue.
That's right.
And
but
so,
that's, yeah.
You know, we don't go out much right now. When we do go out, we mask.
Yep. Yeah.
And make sure we keep our hands away from our face and wash them thoroughly and use sanitizer and, everything we can do. But that's still no guarantee either.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah, because that's
certain world.
Well, that's why they ask you to have two tests also. Mm-hmm. But even that, like say,
every test is different.
Yeah. I mean, I've shown negative each time, but I'm still not sure half the time.
Huh.
Well, we talked. Of course, she had her 10-day isolation, and we had our 14-day quarantine after that. So we were locked up for about 24 days.
Wow.
But the Department of Health.
Mm-hmm.
Contacted us every morning to see how we were doing, see if we had a temperature and all this stuff.
Hmm.
And we talked to them about the possibility of a false positive.
Mm-hmm.
They said it's virtually impossible, because if you have it in your system, it will more than likely, if you test positive, you've got it in your system. I'll put it that way.
Somewhere in there, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you for.
They said now the false negative is possible. It's not likely, but it's possible. It's kind of like a needle biopsy. They're going in and taking a sample in a specific spot, and if they hit the cancer, then you've got it.
Yeah.
But just because they don't hit it doesn't necessarily mean
you don't have it.
Right. So you've got quite an education on this thing, it sounds like.
I mean,
and that's what
crash
you do.
Course.
When you have a family member.
I wish we had to have.
Yeah, but thanks for sharing.
When we talk to these folks, we would question them.
Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to do. Hey, thank you for sharing. We really appreciate that. Gentlemen, we're kind of up against the clock for this next break, so we're going to go ahead and take it right now. It is 7:51. We'll be back after this 2-minute timeout.
The program, Max Lucado, When God Whispers Your Name, is brought to you by Grace Automotive and Total Communications.
This is Max Lucado. Holiday travel. It isn't easy. Then why do we do it? Why cram the trunks and endure the airports? You know the answer. We love to be with the ones we love. The four-year-old running up the sidewalk into the arms of Grandpa. The cup of coffee with Mom before the rest of the house awakes. That moment when, for a moment, everyone is quiet as we hold hands around the table and thank God for family and friends and pumpkin pie. We love to be with the ones we love. May I remind you? So does God. How else do you explain what He did? Between Him and us, there was a distance, a great span, and He couldn't bear it. He couldn't stand it, so He did something about it. Philippians 2:7 reminds us, He gave up His place with God and made Himself nothing. This is Max Lucado.
The program, Max Lucado, When God Whispers Your Name, has been brought to you by Total Communications and Grace Automotive.
It's that time of year again when Old Man Winter is rearing his ugly head. Be sure your furnace is ready for winter. Carbon monoxide is odorless and deadly. Call Ernest Heat and Air at 918-335-3057. Be safe, not sorry. That's Ernest Heat and Air in Bartlesville, 918-335-3057. And remember, it's hard to stop a train.
Not sure about the weather today? Ask Alexa. Alexa, open K1 Bartlesville.
That's where everyone goes for local news, weather, and traffic.
Back with Tech Talk right here on your favorite radio station. It's 7:53. Our phone lines are open at 1-800-749-5936. Charles and Charles, take it away.
You know, we were just talking during the break about kind of sensing your own body, because your body talks to you all the time.
Yeah.
And you know, you just have to learn to listen.
Yeah.
You have to learn to listen, because sometimes you need to do something. And computers are the same way, and that's why I look at them. That's why I talk a lot about behavioral issues, you know, when they behave differently or they behave odd, or you know, there's things that are going on, but there's so many little cues that it's hard to interpret, because there's so much information that's being generated, most of it being kind of obscure on a computer, because, you know, when you're doing millions of instructions per second, I mean, how many of those are you going to be aware of? Probably not too many.
Nope.
How many people are so in tune now? I mean, think about when you were a young person. You never really thought about computer stuff and information. You just didn't, because you were out running around, goofing around. But now, you ask any kid about anything, or any teenage young man or single person, you know, anything about technology, and they could tell you everything about it.
Yeah.
You know, because they spend their lives in it.
Well, their education now, back then even, came from Star Trek.
Yeah, that's the only thing had to kind of take us that direction.
Yeah, well, it brought science into the forefront. Like Spock probably is the character that made the original Star Trek what it was.
Really was, yeah.
He was the character, because, you know, all of a sudden he just takes all the, it's like taking the human element out, says, okay, now let's be logical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's be logical.
Now, was the key player in that thing.
Because everybody else seemed to be out of control, but he never was. And then in the next generation, it turned into
Data.
Yeah. He was the guy. Yeah. You know, take the human element out, and let's look at this.
Well, you know, if you watch news and you keep up with things that are happening, Elon Musk right now is talking about the AI technology. And he's really into this, getting to the next level one civilization. I don't know if you've seen that latest video that he's talking about, getting the American, or getting the world into what we call the level one civilization, which... you know, it's all about artificial intelligence, and everything that he talks about is getting people to think in terms of AI that will eventually heal the planet, do da 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 da. But you know, that gets deep when you start getting into that, because you're talking about algorithmic things in the brain.
Right.
You know, there's just a lot that is being talked about in that. Yeah.
Yep. And then you have the other extreme where people are pitting religion against science. You know, and to me, I don't think they're separate at all.
Yeah.
I think it's all part of the same system.
Yeah,
and
you will find very, very, very many similarities there.
Yeah, and it's a shame, you know, because you know I'm a churchgoer, and I don't see that as being a conflict at all.
No, it isn't. Yeah.
So, but anyway, yeah, we have a lot of extremes going on right now. So right now, it's taking time to to kind of get it together. And to me, it's all about awareness. That's why I bring up this a lot about machines being one of those tools that help you do that. Because, like, you can sense your body to find out, you know, when something's not right. You know, computers will take that to an exponential level because it goes into kind of a depth. And that's why you'll see the next generation of stuff like Apple, Google, and Microsoft, and a lot of these companies that are using AI to actually go and use their devices to start probing inside each person so that it can tell you stuff that you couldn't sense yourself. Because like your brain, for example, it doesn't have any real nerves. It doesn't, I mean, you could have a headache, but there's a lot going on that it's just insensitive.
Sure.
You know, so, and there's so much studies going on in the brain right now to figure out, okay, you know, let's figure out how this is going to pan out, because, you know, we've got Alzheimer's, we've got dementia, you've got all these mental issues that now we're using technology to go send those probes and tell us, okay, what's really happening? Because right now they're just looking at the shadows on the wall. It says, okay, this is what's happened. Now let's go back.
Yeah, let's find out where it all came from. Yeah,
but it's some pretty deep stuff, and AI is going to be a big piece of that.
Well, if you go look at them, there's whole tons of things out there where they talk about level one civilizations and getting into, you know, trying to get everybody in this AI world. And you got some leaders that are in that doing.
Well, you can see where it could be kind of a scary topic in itself, because you're going into the unknown. You know, it's like you're unleashing this creature that, you know, can develop a mind of its own, and that's what people are afraid of. They want to be able to direct this machine so it does what they want.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost, to me, it's almost like the difference between Linux and Windows. Linux, it just does what you tell it. Windows, most of the time it does that.
Yeah. It's kind of like funny. That driverless vehicle. Every now and then, it crashes.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to say one last thing before we close out of here, because my grandpa used to always tell us as a kid, you know, he used to always say, if you could ever, as a young man, if you could ever read a woman's mind, you know, if you could just read what's in their mind, you'd run. He was just being silly, but you know, in reality, if we could read the minds of what our you know, everyday thinking is, especially in, if they can learn to control like Alzheimer's, you know, it's such a sad thing to lose your memory. It really is. And if they can learn to control that would be a great thing, but I can't see it in the future, in the near future. That's going to be down the road.
All right, Charles Mull, where can we find you?
ITVillage.one.
And Charles Miller?
NBR Electronics, downtown.
All righty. Right here, Phillips.
Yeah, Phillips. Yeah, but this is downtown.
All right. Take care. We've got news coming up at the top of the hour. Thank you.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnes.